When I was studying sacred scripture, one of the greatest things I learned about is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls typology. Typology is a person, place, thing, or event in the Old Testament that prefigures, foreshadows, anticipates, and symbolizes a person, place, thing, or event in the New Testament. Okay, I better read that again. Persons, places, things, and events in the Old Testament prefigure, foreshadow, anticipate, and symbolize persons, places, things, and events in the New Testament. St. Augustine would say it like this: the New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is unveiled in the New. Now, if you're looking for a good example of typology, if you're looking for a good example of a person, place, thing, or event in the Old Testament that prefigures, foreshadows, anticipates, and symbolizes something in the New Testament, well, today's first reading and gospel are a perfect example. In today's first reading from the Old Testament, first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 17 to 24, we have a widow from the city of Zarephath, and the widow has no name. She only has one son, and we don't know his name either. The only son dies. However, the prophet Elijah raises the widow's son from the dead. Elijah called out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let the life breath return to the body of this child." And he revived. Elijah then gives the son to his mother. And the widow praises God, saying, "Now I know that you are a man of God. The word of the Lord comes truly from your mouth." Now, I'm sure it's easy to see how that Old Testament story prefigures, foreshadows, and anticipates today's gospel story from St. Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Once again, we have a widow from a city called Nain. The widow has no name. The widow has only one son, and we don't know this son's name either. The only son dies, but Jesus is the new Elijah who raises the widow's son from the dead. "Young man, I tell you, arise." Then Jesus gives the son to his mother. This is verse 15 of chapter 7 from St. Luke's Gospel, and it is word for word verbatim from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 23. Elijah gave him to his mother. And the people praise God by saying, "A great prophet has risen in our midst, and God has visited his people." Can you see why, when Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do people say that I am?" they thought Jesus was the great prophet Elijah, come back from heaven. Now, although these two stories are very similar, what's the essential difference between Elijah and Jesus? Elijah is not God. And so he prays to the Lord God to raise the widow's son back to life. Jesus is God. And so he asks, "No one. By his word, all things were made. By his word, the storms and the sea are calmed. By his word, the widow's son is raised to life." Elijah raises the widow's son to life on the authority of the one true God. Jesus raises the widow's son to life on his own authority, because he is indeed the one true God. And the point of both stories is that only the one true God has the power to raise a man from the dead. Just as God breathed life into Adam when God created him in the book of Genesis, so too God can breathe new life into our dead bodies. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God said, "You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people." How do we know that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God? When he touches a casket and says, "Open up, arise from your grave, O my people." Many of you were at the cemetery last week for our very beautiful Memorial Day Masses. And as I looked around at the sea of graves, I was thinking, Jesus is going to touch every single coffin, every single vault in our beautiful cemetery, and he is going to say, "Young man, young woman, I tell you, arise." In the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." We believe that what Jesus did for the widow's son in Nain, he will do for every body. Death is never the end of the story when the one true God is around. Resurrection and new life are just around the corner. And I don't know if you noticed, but when Jesus drew near to the gate of the city of Nain and came upon the funeral procession, did you notice no one, not the widow, not the crowd, not the disciples, no one asked Jesus to do anything? The gospel says that it was our Lord's own initiative. It says Jesus was moved with mercy for her. The Latin here is extremely clear. Misericordia motus super eam. He was moved with mercy upon her. And I'm of the opinion, it's just my opinion, but I think that Jesus was moved to mercy because she was a widow with only one son. I think that Jesus saw in that unnamed widow from Nain his own mother Mary, a widow from Nazareth. Tradition tells us that Saint Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry. That's why when Jesus was dying on the cross, he entrusted his mother Mary to his beloved disciple Saint John, because Saint Joseph had already died and Jesus had no brothers. And so it is clear that the Blessed Virgin Mary was a widow with only one son. And just like the widow of Nain had to bury her only son, Jesus knew that someday his mother Mary would have to bury her only son. I think that Jesus worked today's resuscitation miracle for the widow of Nain in order to prefigure, foreshadow, and anticipate how he would raise himself from the dead on Easter Sunday morning and give his own resurrected body back to his beloved widowed mother Mary, and how he would give his own resurrected body back to his bride, the church. Misericordia motus super eam. He was moved with mercy upon her. And the Lord Jesus is moved with mercy for us today, especially in this extraordinary year of mercy. Jesus is moved with mercy for every part of us that is still dead in sin. May the Lord Jesus breathe new life into us through the sacraments of the church, and then he will give us to his mother, who will take good care of us and lead us to eternal life with her son. Amen.